Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Going In Raw is now a CastBox original. CastBox is the fastest growing, highest rated podcast app on both iOS and Android, where you can find all your favorite podcasts. You can still listen to Going In Raw wherever you get your podcasts, but we hope you'll give CastBox a shot. We think it's the best.
Hey guys, this is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw.
What's up, it's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you're watching Going In Raw. You like that?
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are going in SmackDown Live.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode. And you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/ Steve and Larson. Available wherever fine podcasts are, including, of course, CastBox. We did it, man. We did it.
Oh, we did?
Road to 1,000. I woke up this morning. I look at the CastBox app. You can download the app. Free, gratis, iOS and Android. It's a great way to find your podcast. Go to Going In Raw.
Look at that.
Subscribe. Leave a comment. We are officially. We wanted to get there before Money in the Bank. We have time to spare. Do you want to read a celebratory comment?
Yeah, I'm going to read one
comment
from Robert Stack.
Oh, Robert Snacks is the best.
Yeah, he's great. He says, I'm only here for the thanks, friendo. Also, I was told that there may be talk of Lambo. I'm very much interested in talk of Lambo. So in summary, I'm exclusively here for the thanks, friendo, as well as potential talk of Lambo.
Okay.
Well, I may have beleaguered my point, but as long as we're both clear, a thanks, friendo, and possibly conversing about the aforementioned Lambo are appreciated. Robert Stack.
Well, I just
thanks,
left
friendo.
Him a comment.
Thanks, friendo.
A comment.
Thanks,
I said thanks, friendo, and Lambo. And then I'm going to read a comment because I went in on this action too.
All right.
I'm very happy about 1,000 comments
me too.
On CastBox. Charlie Devon, are Frito burritos a California thing? I can't find them anywhere.
What?
They should be a universal thing, man. They should be at every Taco Bell location. Why are you grumpy?
I'll be honest. Here's the thing. You know, I had two of those the other day.
Yeah, man.
Two at one sitting is too much.
You know, the story of your life is you just do too much too fast. All right? You need to slow down. You don't seem like the type because you come off.
I'm not content to.
You have the appearance
with complacency
and demeanor of a turtle, but in fact, your heart screams rabbit.
Yeah.
You just want to go, go, go.
Yeah.
Even though you look slow, slow, slow.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, you can also find us on the Patreon at patreon.com/ Steven Larson. It's a great way to help contribute to the show. Without the patrons, we would be nothing.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing. And so look at this. $20. $20. You get the Friendo Care Package as a comic book. Some stickers. I mean, who doesn't want a sticker of my face looking shocked and or orgasmic? This could be my O face. This could be your O face too. I don't know. Maybe. It could be our poop faces. Nah, I think it's just our faces.
Yeah.
And then an original Going In Raw logo sticker, a postcard, and a poster, double-sided. You have to choose Mecha Santa.
Oh, it's
or
a simple, easy choice, though.
Top notch
is the right choice.
Speaking of Patreon, we got a Patreon chat going on right now. As this podcast happens.
Correct.
In live stream form.
Correct.
And we had a request to do Interdimension Tension 2, the rematch, would that get 7 stars or 8 stars on the Meltzer star rating?
Oh, 15.
At least 15.
Double.
The next chapter of Top Notch versus Mecha Santa. It'll happen. But, you know, there's dates for these things. I think it's in October, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it'll happen. It'll happen. Give it time.
Yes.
Anyways, prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw as well. Check out the shirt. You can get it there. Not that one. That's a WWE shop exclusive.
Yeah. It's very comfortable, though.
Yeah.
If it's on sale, you get a good price for it. I recommend it.
So we're
here to talk about 205 Live, NXT, and make our predictions for NXT TakeOver Chicago, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of not the best couple of episodes. You mentioned this. You said the go-home for NXT before takeovers are usually kind of thin. I don't recall that, but I trust you.
When did I say that?
Are you serious?
I said this go-home was kind of thin.
I thought you said generally they are. Oh, okay.
Well, I didn't say that.
I misheard that then.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this was thin.
Or what I said. You said that or said this week. The takeovers for this week were kind of thin. That's what I said.
The takeovers for this week?
Sorry, the go-homes for this week were kind of
There's
thin.
There's one takeover. It's on Saturday.
Yeah, but the go-homes for all the three brands.
The go-homes for WWE, they traditionally are thin.
Yeah, I know.
They are traditionally very weak. Yeah, I mean, I don't recall, you know, the last episode before the previous takeovers. But yeah, this was kind of bunk. And then there's one match that, like, we had heard was going to happen, and they haven't announced it. So maybe it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen right now.
So I don't know. Anyways, I mean, it's weird, though. So hold on a second.
Wait, which match are you talking about for NXT, the takeover?
Adam Cole. He's got nothing to do.
I know. Here's my speculation.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Typically, there's 5 matches at a takeover. Here's what I'm thinking. No, they haven't announced it yet because this is Larson predicting stuff, so it probably isn't going to happen. Because Pete Dunne is dropping that UK title at the tournament,
mm-hmm.
and so he could potentially pick up that North American championship whenever he's facing Adam Cole, and then Adam Cole can make his way up to the NXT title scene.
It'd be fun. Because they've announced the Undisputed Era is taking on British Strong Style at the Royal Albert Hall show.
Yeah, and then Adam Cole is also defending his North American title there, too.
Okay.
One of those two shows. Obviously, I'm going to get to Pete Dunne, because Pete Dunne is going to be defending his United Kingdom title on the final night.
All right.
So what are the next takeover is? Oh, yeah, SummerSlam weekend.
Okay.
Wouldn't be surprised if we see Pete Dunne versus Adam Cole for the North American title.
You know what they need to do? They need to do a dang title change on an episode of NXT TV.
Yeah, no.
Never get those.
Yeah, not anymore.
Never get those.
Not anymore.
I know. It used to be kind of a thing.
Wait, didn't Undisputed Era win the tag titles on NXT TV, I thought.
Yeah, it could be.
I think they did. It'd be Sanity for them, I thought.
Then it would be in keeping with the tradition of Undisputed Era picking up. No, dropping gold now, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, whatever.
So it'd be Adam Cole having to beat Aleister Black for the NXT title. That would be keeping with tradition.
Anyways, 205 Live. It was okay. It was fine.
Yeah, the main event was good.
Boy, both these episodes are not all that great.
The problem with 205 Live is just kind of thin on wrestling.
Yeah, I know.
There was, you know, 2 matches that were, they gave a decent amount of time, but then this Akira Tozawa versus Steve Irby match.
Who the hell is Steve Irby?
I don't know. He had Joey on his in front of his tights.
Did somebody hear that I like jobber squash matches? Because I feel like we're getting them a lot now.
Yeah, we are.
I want to dial that back a little bit.
Yeah.
Steve Irby. Oh, here we go. Rossville from the Chattanooga Times.
Oh,
Free
yeah.
Press.
Let's see what his. Because I thought it said Joey on the front of his tights, and the back said
Joey Lynch.
Back said King of the Moonsault.
Joey Lynch. So where do you think they got Steve Irby from?
I don't know. I don't know where they get these names from. What bugs me though is these wrestlers, these local enhancement talents come and they just got to wear the gear they have. They're not going to go and get custom gear made for, you know, a one-night-only appearance at WWE.
Yeah, man.
So when the dude's trunks quite clearly say Joey on the front of them, why don't they just call him Joey Irby?
Yeah.
Instead of Steve Irby.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we see the lower third, Steve Irby. Commentary is referring to him as Steve Irby. Then why the hell does he have Joey on the front of his pants?
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense to me. It takes me out of it. Instead of, you know, getting involved in the story of the match, I just want to know, who's Joey? Is this wrestler actually Joey? Who's Joey?
You know,
why'd they change his name? How come he can't be Joey Irby?
It's a shout out to somebody. I don't know. Yeah, I've never, so like, you know, obviously we've made our fair share of fantasy creations in the 2K mm-hmm. series, and going back 20 years, as long as from, I mean, I know Revenge, you could swap gear on a
you change names.
You could change names, yeah, but like you couldn't put a name on ring gear. I don't know when that came around. No. Probably the next generation of consoles. I've never been a fan of putting your name on your tights. Never been a fan of that. Adam Cole does it.
Yeah.
He has it, but he's sort of the exception. I'm not a fan. I guess Roderick Strong do it?
Yeah, he is.
Strong. But Strong's a name that belongs on your, you know.
It could also just be, you know, he's like describing himself.
Yeah, Strong.
Yeah, he's Strong.
Exactly. But beyond that, like, you know, I wouldn't put Steve here on my ass.
Mm-hmm. Finn used to have Finn on his buttock.
Yeah. Wait, he did?
Yeah, NXT was just like right here.
Oh, okay.
Kind of on the hip.
Fin. I kind of remember that. I kind of remember
that. On the hip. Buttock area.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that anyways. But especially, yeah, dude, if you're an indie guy, wouldn't they? Don't they all commit? Don't they all, like, talk? Don't they all chat and say, like, hey, they're totally going to change your name. So if you're wearing your pants with your name on
just
it, maybe.
Just bring a plain pair of trunks.
Yeah, exactly. And they're like, Joey's like, I just had these made.
I mean, they're great looking tights because
Joey, trust me, they're going to call you
on
Steve.
The back, it said King of the Moonsault. Look really nice.
Yeah, I
like
know.
Spent money on them.
I'll be honest with you. This Steve Irby Joey guy, he had a great look. Like, his ring gear was on point.
Yeah.
He had a really sick looking beard. He was a great looking, like, he looked like he's been around for a while.
Yeah.
You know, I want to know more about. I was like, "Oh, who's this great new addition to 205 Live?"
Here's the thing, though: if you have a enhancement talent who purports to be the king of the moonsault, and you don't give him an opportunity to attempt one moonsault during the match, then the audience is going to say, "Why the hell does he have king of the moonsault in the back, across his butt?"
Yeah,
he's not even pulling out a moonsault when he has
A
little bit the upper hand this match. But that's a whole other issue. You know, like Tozawa was selling way more than he probably should have for this type of match. Right?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, he was trying to give Joey Steve some you know, benefit of the doubt, man. He's trying to help him out, trying to give him a good showing, I guess.
I don't know.
Poor Joey Steve.
Joey Irby
Steve.
Why they name him Steve Joey?
Steve Joey. If Adam Mayhem lands on 205 Live,
uh-huh.
What's his name going to be? It's going to be something weird.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like Joey Irby or
like Steve. I don't know. Like, do they have a random name generator in back?
Right.
That's what
it feels like. Yeah. Irby. Where do they get Irby from?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know.
So you can't really predict it, because it seems entirely random.
He says, "What about Adam Mayhem?" Okay, kid. What do you want your name to be? What about Adam Mayhem?
Like they put Adam Mayhem in their name generator.
It's like a Commodore 64.
Yeah.
It goes bloop, 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 bloop. Steve Irby.
I know. Your name is.
Your name is Steve Irby.
Steve Irby.
But my name's Joey. What about Adam Mayhem? All right. Anyways, 205 Live kicked off with Lucha House Party versus Brian Kendrick, Jack Gallagher, and Drew Gulak. This probably should have been the main event. They like built this up for like weeks now.
Yeah.
And it was the Lucha House Party, big six-man tag match. I don't remember a lot from this match.
Well,
not every match has to matter, dude.
No, I agree with that. Kendrick and Gallagher and Gulak did a brief promo afterwards. Gulak says, "If you step to me, you'll tap out."
Mm-hmm.
There's a spot where Gulak rolled up. I think Lince Dorado had a handful of tights.
Yeah.
Ref saw it, which hardly ever happens. Wouldn't happen later on either. So he called off the pinfall. But later on, Lince Dorado reverses a captain's hook from Kendrick, rolls up Kendrick with a handful of tights. The ref doesn't see it this time. Lucha House Party wins. I just feel like stylistically, these teams just don't pair up very well.
Yeah.
Because we saw like the matches between Lucha House Party and Hideo Itami and Akira Tozawa were all pretty fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because, yeah, you're matching up. Yeah, of course. You're matching up
and
like one exciting
like
style of wrestling
I have
another
an
one.
Issue. Yeah, it's not like I have an issue with ground-based wrestling. I don't. if it was Drew Gulak and two Drew Gulak clones,
yeah,
this would probably be pretty good stuff because then you have a very distinct difference in style.
Lou Gulak and Stu Gulak.
There you go. Drew, Lou, and Stu Gulak.
Your name is Stu Gulak.
The Gulak brothers. And like Jack Gallagher, I know he can do some interesting ground-based stuff, but like heel Jack Gallagher, apart from one match against Mustafa Ali, apparently isn't allowed to do it,
yeah,
or just doesn't. Yeah. And then Brian Kendrick, like they tell him to wrestle ground-based, and he just hits people.
Oh, yeah.
There's no technical.
Because you hit somebody, you're supposed to hit the ground.
There's no. Like he just does crossfaces, yeah, and stuff. There's no, yeah, like he's not showing off his technical abilities, and that's what I expect from this pairing of Drew Gulak, who I know is an accomplished technical wrestler,
mm-hmm,
Jack Gallagher, who I've seen do some interesting technical stuff, plus he has an MMA background,
yeah,
and Brian Kendrick, who's been wrestling for 20-plus years.
Yeah.
I'm sure he knows his way around the ring in terms of working technical.
Yeah.
Like, really let them do it.
Yeah.
Like, bust out some you know, not everybody's Zack Sabre Jr., obviously, but right, let them get creative with the joint manipulation and putting people in weird holds and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and really give us a stark difference between Lucha House Party and this ground-based team.
Yeah. Now, you know what? Here, I'm looking at the Patreon chat. DJ Johnson said they need to add to the promotion so we're not seeing the same matches every week.
Yeah.
I kind of feel that way. Like, sometimes it kind of works. Like, when we got that series, like you said, with Hideo Akira and Lucha House Party, it worked because the matches were all pretty exciting. And then you have that added sort of X-Factor element of Hideo Itami just being rude. Like, that was kind of cool. With these, like, I don't even feel like, with the exception of Drew Gulak, I kind of get what you're saying, what you've been saying about Kendrick. They haven't really given him anything to sort of chew on here, you know, besides just, oh, I'm a scoundrel.
And kind of the same for Jack Gallagher.
Yeah, the same, yeah.
Ever since he turned heel, he just kind of seems like he doesn't, like his character's not very well defined.
And it was, like, really well defined when he was a face.
Yeah.
Like, what he did worked perfect for that.
Apart from his one match in the Cruiserweight championship tournament,
mm-hmm,
against Mustafa Ali,
because
mm-hmm, for whatever reason his work that night was really good.
Yeah.
I just feel like he just really hasn't fully embraced or felt comfortable in the heel role.
Yeah. After that we had an Hideo Itami iPhone promo.
He wants respect.
Yeah.
And yet he respects nobody.
Well, that's, you know, it's one way to get through life. After that, Drake Maverick was backstage.
Alright, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
How much do you honestly think Buddy Murphy weighs? Because he looks like he weighs twice as much as Rockstar Spud. He literally looked twice as large.
Yeah.
How was Buddy Murphy under 205 pounds?
I guess the other question is, how much do you think Rockstar Spud weighs?
Oh, like, I don't know, $140?
Yeah. He's really
big. I know he's short.
He's really short.
He's probably about 5'1 or 5'2 and 140 pounds.
Yeah.
But still, Buddy Murphy, he didn't look that much taller. He looked like he weighed, in terms of girth, twice as much.
Oh, yeah, he's dense. Yeah, he's jacked. Yeah,
I don't think he weighs 280 pounds, literally. But
yeah,
it's crazy to think that he's under 205 pounds.
Yeah, no, I agree totally. Wait, hold on a second. I'll be honest. I missed this. What happened?
Oh, Buddy Murphy comes in and says he wants a piece of... yeah, they say Buddy Murphy's 5'11", 203. Buddy Murphy wants a piece of...
Mustafa Ali.
No.
No, Hideo Itami?
Yeah.
Okay.
And Drake says, well, so does Mustafa Ali, but... You know, tranquilo, okay, have some, yeah, patience. Everybody will get what they want.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much it.
Oh, okay. So why are you bringing up the weight thing then?
Just because I noticed it was like Buddy Murphy looked massive.
Oh. Oh, so you think, like, you know, they've basically given him hey, we're not going to do the weigh-in thing anymore. So, you know, just get jacked.
Well, I always kind of felt that they were being a little generous with the
yeah,
with the scale,
I know,
right?
I know.
Rockstar Spud's 5'4", 140. So I got the weight right.
Wow, which, good job, man.
And they say Buddy Murphy, at least on Wikipedia here, is 203. So it's a 63-pound difference, but it looks like a heck of a lot more than that.
Yeah. No, he's friggin' jacked, dude. Yeah, they probably told me. We're not going to, like, you know, don't gain too much, but, you know, we're going to ease up on the whole weight
storyline.
Yeah,
we're going to stop the whole weighing in aspect of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, what followed that was a Mustafa Ali iPhone promo.
I did see this. This was cool.
Yeah, he's,
I like,
great.
No, he's fantastic. There was that awesome story. They brought this up on the broadcast.
Oh, yeah, where he gifted
some girl, yeah, had
some health issues that required her to wear some sort of mask, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think she wrote to him, or he heard that she wished that she had something that, you know,
that cool, like the LED stuff.
Yeah, so he sent her,
yeah,
his.
Oh, man.
He seemed like a good guy.
No, he seems like a great guy, man. After that, we had Akira Tozawa versus Your Name Is...
Steve Joey.
Joey.
Your gimmick is King of the Moonsaults.
Your gimmick is King of the
Moon.
Moon Salt. Oh, man. Anyways, yeah, we talked about this a little bit. It was basically a jobber squash match. It's usually the jobbers aren't as defined.
It was a jobber match, but I wouldn't necessarily call it a squash match.
Oh, I don't know. It was pretty quick.
It was pretty quick, but Steve Joey got a lot more offense than I thought he was going to.
I know. So, I mean, isn't the point of this match to show like Akira being dominant?
Yeah. But I don't. He won, but I wouldn't necessarily call his victory dominant.
Yeah. Well, maybe they're trying to. Maybe they're floating like a test balloon on Steve Irby.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be.
Like, hey, we. He came in. They're like, wow, this guy looks. How old are you, kid? Like 35? You're like, yeah.
No, I'm 22.
No, I'm 23 years old, man.
Triple H. You look like you could.
Yeah.
Kick somebody's
man,
ass.
You seen the Steve Irby guy?
My name's Joey.
Yeah, you seen Steve Irby over here?
You see Steve Joey over here?
You seen Steve Joey over here? This guy looks like he can kick some real ass. That's the only thing that matters anymore. So let him get a little offense and see how people like him.
Anyways, the character's out, picked up the win. So.
Yeah. Next, we had a Leo Rush promo still in his
penthouse.
Penthouse. I am a 23-year-old.
He didn't say that, though.
Piece of gold.
He didn't say that, though.
No, he didn't.
He spent a lot of time.
He was still fondling his balls, though. The
hourglass
balls. He spent
a good while staring at his watch.
With a giant smile on his face. I liked his Adidas tracksuit,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was really cool. No, I like Leo Rush. He's rad.
Yeah.
And he was like, how is it? He's like, I'm starting to just do Samuel Jackson with him. How is it? I wasn't in the Cruiserweight Championship.
Oh, they've had two.
They've had two tournaments.
Without the best Cruiserweight in the world.
Without the best mother Cruiserweight in the world. Anyways, yeah, Leo Rush, he can't get there soon enough.
I know.
With you. They desperately need. Could you imagine just Leo Rush taking on all of Lucha House Party?
Oh, that'd be great. Great.
Oh, Tony Nese promo.
He and Buddy Murphy are buds. They're friends.
Yeah, they're
training
friends.
Partners, they say.
Yeah, they're like, we're both getting jacked.
Body guys.
Yeah, we're both body guys. We're only going to get bigger physically so that it's completely out of the realm of possibility that we're under 205.
Yeah.
TJP iPhone promo. He kind of rushed through this one.
But it was good. His promo delivery is way better than it was a year ago.
That's true.
He was, again, saying that if he's not going to be appreciated on 205 Live, because he didn't have a match that night against any sort of competition.
Yeah.
He didn't have a match at all.
Once again, the crews are great.
Maybe he'd be appreciated on another show.
Yeah. Well, you know, I hear Impact's hiring.
Well, he was there at one point.
He was suicide.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing with Hulk Hogan. Yeah, I don't know where that's going to lead.
Probably nowhere.
Probably nowhere. But it's, you know, they gave him 30 seconds, so that's cool.
Our main event was Mustafa Ali versus Tony Nese. Good match. Buddy Murphy joins Tony Nese at ringside, and pretty much immediately, right before the match starts, I think right as the bell rang, mm-hmm. Buddy Murphy got in the ring behind Mustafa Ali. Tony Nese in front of Mustafa Ali, kind of cornering him as if they were going to beat him up. Cedric Alexander comes down, evens the odds.
Mm-hmm.
Match takes place.
It's the dream. I had it all.
Decent enough match. Mustafa Ali always puts on fun matches.
Yeah, no, he does. There's really some fun spots here. There is one time when there's one cool moment when Tony Nese like freaking just threw Mustafa Ali into the ring post on the outside. That was rad.
Yeah.
Because Mustafa Ali can sell like nobody's business, man.
Oh, yeah.
So good. We got on one of those cool, what do they call them? The DDT things?
Oh, Tornado DDT.
Tornado DDT.
Yeah.
I wanted to call it a Hurricane DDT. Man. Anyway, so yeah, that was fun. But Mustafa Ali eventually picked up the win with an 054.
Yeah.
No, it was cool. It was a really good match. I like Tony Nese a lot. And then after the match ended, Mustafa Ali got on the stick and he said, I want Hideo Itami, and I want Buddy Murphy.
Triple threat.
We all want to rip each other's heads off, so give it to us.
And Drake Maverick, backstage during interview.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Said, sure thing.
We'll do that next week, because we don't get to be on pay-per-views anymore. all of our good blow-off matches are here on 205 Live.
Well, it makes 205 Live must-watch television then.
I know. I forgot
to check. It was number 3 in the ratings last week,
you
right?
You checked? Oh, no. Last week it was. So I want to see what last week's was. I'm going to check right now.
All right, while you do that, I will move on to NXT.
Yeah, so Morrow's not going to be a takeover. It's going to be Vic Joseph. I was hoping it'd be Tom Phillips.
I know.
But it's going to be Vic. I like Vic Joseph. He's good. I kind of don't notice him, which is good. I like that.
NXT kicked off with War Raiders versus a couple of enhancement talents.
Yeah, they need to go to Maine tomorrow.
Like Ricky Martinez and Justin Storm wasn't much of a match. This was a squash match.
This was a total squash match, and it really didn't belong on TV, to be honest with you. Like
War Raiders won with Fallout.
Either put War Raiders in a thing.
Well, they called out TM61, the Mighty.
Oh, yeah.
At the end, after the match. So they'll finally be getting to their first program.
I would have preferred like a little film segment with him.
Yeah.
Like maybe cosplaying at the Renaissance
like
Fair.
No, they shouldn't. That's what they did last week with Lars Sullivan, have War Raiders in the ring beating everybody up. TM61 walks in through the door, sees what's happening.
Walks away, yeah. Yep. That'd have been great.
That'd just be the Mighty's thing. They walk in, saying, nah, walk out. Next, this was great. Undisputed Era hanging out in the parking lot.
Yeah, man.
And then Adam Cole realized that
Number 4. Wow.
There you go. Nice. Adam Cole realized they were being photographed.
Yeah.
And he goes, what's that camera doing here?
It was like an Adam Baldwin paparazzi moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. He says, you only film if I say you can film. And then he ran them off.
Yeah. Next, extended Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa video package recapping their feud.
Yeah. They did sort of like a sit down, head on interview thing or face on interview thing with both of them. That was kind of it was effective.
Yeah.
I guess
I don't think it was as good as the Ricochet Velveteen Dream one they did a couple years back, which was outstanding.
Yeah, that was really good. But this was okay.
Yeah, there really wasn't much going on NXT.
No, there wasn't.
We had EC3 versus Cassius Ohno, which
was this like a did they have like a 5 minute time limit or something?
I felt this really should have main evented its own show.
Yeah, I know.
Give this match 15 minutes.
I know. Give this match a long time or put it on like the kickoff. They don't do kickoffs. They do like dark matches at takeovers, and they air them on TV the next week.
Well, they
I don't know, put this somewhere.
They're going to do Bianca Belair, Dakota Kai, and then War Raiders, TM61, The Mighty.
Oh.
Shoot those two matches before takeover.
Okay. Well, that's cool. But yeah, man, this at least should have been its own main event.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even especially given how EC3 and Cassius Ohno are like, you can't find two more opposite wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like in every aspect with, not including they're both quality wrestlers.
Yeah. In terms of the characters, in terms of wrestling styles. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so they could have built like a really fun story with this. Like you see EC3's penthouse, which is just Leo Rush's penthouse too. But then, and then you see like wherever Cassius Ohno lives, like just some freaking house or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know, an apartment.
A humble little abode somewhere, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Build it up through their characters because their characters are freaking great. I want to see more of both these guys in their surroundings, and instead it's just EC3 showing up,
and beating Cassius Ohno in about 5 minutes.
Yeah. That was a bummer, man.
Mm-hmm.
Either send Cassius Ohno to Maine. Mm-hmm. Do something, man.
I know.
Do something. Let him have his moment. Bianca Belair versus Aaliyah, I know she's been like a heel for a little while now, but I always forget that she's been a heel for a little while now.
Yeah.
So when she shows up acting all heelish, I'm like, okay. But then Bianca Belair's a heel also.
Yeah, I know.
So she's like bigger heel.
This is pretty much a squash match.
Yeah, this is pretty much a squash match, yeah. Belair is strong as hell.
Oh, yeah.
Man, all that.
And fast. She's super athletic.
Deadlifts. Like, she's like deadlifting the hell out of Aaliyah.
Mm-hmm.
Doing all sorts of
stuff.
She
did it to Candice during their match, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Her finisher it's not the reverse powerbomb anymore.
No, it's kind of like a reverse Death Valley driver.
Yeah. That's better.
Yeah, it is.
That's way better. So that's cool. Gets him up in the torch rack. After that, Bianca Belair won. After that, we had a decent little Shayna Baszler.
It was kind of it got a little corny at moments.
Video package, yeah. I honestly didn't really pay attention to the video package.
It's like Nikki Cross kept on, having a Queen of Spades card, and like there was this one point where it was on fire, and as the fire started to burn down the car, they did like a wipe to Shayna. It was a little, it got a little corny. It's like me, instead of worrying about the story beats, I'm here like, from a production aspect. It's like, oh man, this is an undergrad who put this together.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. I got my finals coming up, man. What are you going to do? I'm going to do this NXT thing.
Oh man, I don't know. I don't know what transition to do. How about a wipe?
I'm going to do a really like a star wipe? Oh, I should have thought of that.
Well, no, because see, there's this fire burning, and it's like in a circular pattern, so you do like an iris wipe. That's what you do.
That's what you do, an iris
just
wipe.
Feather the edges so it's not a hard edge.
Yeah.
People might not, it'd be cool, man.
Do you know how to use the lens burning filter? What is that? Like the lens burns off?
Oh, yeah. The light.
No,
light,
the film burn.
The what light flare one. Yeah. I like that one.
Dakota Kai interview.
Yeah, Bianca Belair confronts her and says,
"Why?" Yeah, she's more mad at the interviewer. Why are you interviewing her? I'm the est.
Yeah.
I'm the greatest, the bestest.
The fastest, the strongest,
bone
the best.
Meat est. The, you know, hamburger est. I'm all the estes.
Anyways, she says,
I'm the wrestler.
I'm better than you. You were scared by Shayna Baszler. I want to take you on next week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Dakota Kai was like, look, I was afraid of her. I don't even know who you are. So, yeah, it should be fun. Bianca Belair's got to win that, right?
Oh, yeah.
She's going to start tearing through people, I think.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I like her a lot, though.
Next, we had Kyle O'Reilly versus Peter Dune.
I was surprised that the Undisputed Era didn't come out with him. They were just sort of hanging back until, you know, they needed to come out.
Yeah, but by then it was too late.
Yeah, he did his guitar thing, though. Mm-hmm. This is a really good match. I mean, you get Kyle O'Reilly and Pete Dunne. They're not going to put on a bad match.
No.
So it was a lot of fun.
I mean, they're both really gifted technical wrestlers.
And that's what it was. A lot of that stuff. A lot of Pete Dunne's
joint manipulation.
Small joint manipulation stuff.
And then Kyle O'Reilly countering with his MMA-influenced mat work.
Yeah.
Those elbows that Kyle O'Reilly was throwing towards the end, those were stiff.
Yeah.
That finish was great where Kyle O'Reilly was hitting Pete Dunne with elbows and Pete Dunne wouldn't let go of hand control.
Mm-hmm.
And so Kyle O'Reilly dug in Pete Dunne's mouth, threw his mouthpiece out, and was about to deliver another elbow when Pete Dunne stood up, broke the fingers, right to the bitter end, picked up the win, retaining the United Kingdom Championship. Fun match.
Afterwards, Undisputed Era comes out, attacks Peter Dunne, and which, of course, brings out Lorcan and Birch. Everybody brawls. And so, yeah, we're getting, of course, Undisputed Era versus Lorcan and Birch at TakeOver.
Ooh.
No moro. Aleister Black came out to deliver a promo.
Pretty short. And then Lars Sullivan came out and just destroyed him.
Yeah, pretty much.
Three freak accidents. Took him over to the announce table. Put him on top.
Mm-hmm.
Held up the NXT title.
Mm-hmm.
Said, I'm going to beat you or something like that.
Lars Sullivan. He grabbed my foot.
You gave me three many freak accidents.
At first it was just one. Then it was two. Then it turned into three many. So next week at TakeOver, I'll be taking you for an ice cream truck ride. I'm going to sprinkle you with pain.
Oh, my goodness.
It's going to be a cold day in hell for you, Aleister Black.
Lars Sullivan, you mean?
I mean Lars Sullivan.
All right, let's do our TakeOver predictions. There's only five matches announced.
Who screams for who screams for ice cream? You're going to scream for ice cream.
First, Undisputed Era versus Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan. Who do you have, Steve?
You only have one confidence point on this?
Oh, they're totally going to win. It's just the way I just feel kind of more confident about other matches.
All right, hold on. Undisputed Era. Hold on. I didn't even think about any of these.
All right, fill out your stuff. I'll see what the matches are while you fill them out, and then we can talk about it. Undisputed Era versus Danny Burch, Oney Lorcan for the tag title. Shayna Baszler versus Nikki Cross for the NXT Women's title.
There are no...
This all kind of seems like...
These are all locks.
Yeah, I think so.
These are all locks. We're going to have literally the exact same score. All of these.
Ricochet versus Velveteen Dream, Aleister Black versus Lars Sullivan, and then Johnny Gargano versus Tommaso Ciampa.
Nikki Cross is heading to Maine after this.
Yep.
So she's definitely going to lose.
So we're going to agree across the board.
We're going to agree across the board.
All right. The only difference would be confidence points, but then if we all get them right, it doesn't matter. It's a tie score.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to find one to go out on a limb for. The one I'm... So, yeah, Shayna Baszler, Nikki Cross, that gets all the confidence points. Mm-hmm. That's for certain.
Mm-hmm. Here, I'll write that for you.
No, they're not going to have Ricochet lose his first pay-per-view, his first takeover.
Solo match, yeah. How many confidence points? Yeah.
I mean, same as you, I guess, four. Aleister Blackston. Well, I'll give that. No, you know what? I'll do this. I don't know. I'll put it this way. I am more confident in Aleister Black winning than I am Ricochet winning.
All right.
Gargano is going to lose. I don't know why I do that. Ciampa is going to win.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting that you have Undisputed Era with the least amount of confidence points. I'd actually give one confidence point to Ciampa. I'm going to give one confidence point to Ciampa. I'm going to give two confidence points to Ricochet. Because I could see them doing something kind of weird.
Oh, yeah.
With Ricochet, Velveteen Dream. Because possibly. I think they're really, really high in Velveteen Dream.
Yeah.
And I don't think... I'll do this, man. I'll do this. Because you're right about all these. Ricochet is going to win. Aleister Black's going to win. Ciampa's going to win. Shayna Baszler's going to win. Undisputed Era's going to win. I will, because there's nothing... There's no stakes here. I'm going to say Velveteen Dream.
All right.
Because they can and should continue this feud.
Yeah.
And so I think it'd be stellar for them to have a shocking first. Because who stood tall? Ricochet with the big flippy thing.
That was also like 3 weeks ago, though.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But, you know.
I mean, they basically telegraphed Aleister Black winning, you know, courtesy of Lars Sullivan's beatdown.
Oh, for sure.
On the go-home.
How many, let's say, how many black masses is it going to take?
Three.
Three? All right, we'll differ there. I'll say two.
All right.
Well, hold on a second. He didn't even get one off.
No.
I'll say it just takes one.
All right.
But he actually gets it off.
Why not? I'll say three.
There you go.
I'll probably lose that.
So, yeah. But that's, I mean, there's not a whole lot of,
no,
not a whole lot of differing there.
No.
Questions.
Chuck Sips, how do you feel Cedric Alexander's title reign is going? I mean, his match against Buddy Murphy was fantastic. I just wish they'd give him more character stuff to work with, but I've been saying that for a year and a half.
So 205 Live, one of the good things about 205 Live, I'll put it this way, it's a double-edged sword. It seems to be all exclusively about the chase in 205 Live,
mm-hmm.
which is totally fine, but it leaves the champion with nothing to do.
I know.
It's like, okay, we're going to figure out who's going to be next in line. There's never any rematches.
Yeah.
It's just who's next for the champion to fight, and then he does that.
Yeah.
Which, you know... makes for fewer but higher quality matches with the champion, Cedric Alexander. I mean, that one against Buddy Murphy was
great.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
Who do you see coming out of the Triple Threat?
It's got to be Hitomi. It's got to be Hideo.
It's got to be Hideo Itami,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, with this friendship between Buddy Murphy and Tony Nese, it seems like they're going to segue into the whatever kind of tag division they have. And
oh, you think that's going to be a thing?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Them versus Lucha House Party would be great.
Do you think they need a third guy, though? I mean, it feels like that's the direction they're going.
It
kind of
does. It kind of feels like that, but I don't know who that third guy would be.
Yeah, me neither.
I don't know who the third body guy would be.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be Hideo.
Mm-hmm.
Bronze grappling hook. Vince says we are doing another brawl for all with the winner facing Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. Who wins and who does WWE plan on winning but gets knocked out? Who's going to be the Steve Williams? Let's have an 8-man field. Let's put... I mean, they wouldn't have Nakamura in there.
Okay, so...
trying to think of wrestlers with some sort of fight background.
Rusev did MMA, didn't he?
He's trained in kickboxing.
Both the Authors of Pain guys?
Just one.
Okay.
So he'll be in it.
Okay, Author of Pain guy. Apparently, they've just been dealing with visa issues.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Oh, well, Bobby Lashley. He's got to be in it.
Oh, God, yeah. He's probably going to win the damn thing.
Yeah. So Lashley.
Lashley, Brock.
Well, Brock's the
Butterbean?
Main boss.
He's the Butterbean.
So we'll say
Lashley, Nakamura. How about you bring in Alberto Del Rio? Bring in CM Punk. He wouldn't even win a WWE Brawl for all.
Probably not. But like if we're talking about Brock and the Bobby Lashley, you can't really put, I guess you could put like Jack Gallagher in there. He'd just be so small compared to
It'd be such a throwback to the original days of
like
UFC when people were getting faces
all
ripped
right.
off.
Jack Gallagher. You love talking about that.
It's the best.
It really is.
I just love it because you remember it too, and we didn't even know each other back then.
That'd be great if Chris Jericho was in it. Apparently, you know, he's not afraid of anybody.
Yeah, man.
Chris Jericho.
Well, yeah, that's sort of the thing too. It'd have to incorporate backstage badasses.
Oh, Joe.
Oh, yeah.
That's five. We need three more. Who in NXT?
Kyle O'Reilly. Yeah, that makes sense.
That's six. Two more.
Let's see here. What about Fabian Aichner? What's he done? Didn't he do some real fighting?
Oh, I don't know.
He looks like a fight. He looks like a freaking walking affliction shirt. Fabian Aichner. I'm just going to guess that he did. He's in it. Okay, hold on. No. What did he do before that? How old is he? He's 27. I mean, his debut, 20. Okay, well, I don't know. Maybe not.
Anybody else has done some real fighting? I think it's Rezar that has the MMA background. I mean, you can put Jason Jordan in there. He's at least a collegiate wrestler.
Who now?
Jason Jordan.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Chad Gable.
Chad Gable. There you go. Sure. There's our eight.
Okay, cool. Bobby Lashley wins.
Oh, Baron Corbin, he's a former Golden Gloves
winner.
That's
right, yeah. Hey.
So he's got to be in there, too.
Constable Corbin gets in.
Yeah. GM Spud, what other factions would you like to see cut a promo on Undisputed Era's Playground? I feel like, didn't Sanity? No, they didn't do it, but Sanity would be a good choice.
Yeah, I was going to say Sanity. How about Heavy Machinery, but they're like doing a cookout?
There you go.
Doing a cookout, too.
Broken Steve, it seems as though they are making Leo Rush a big deal in 205 Live, as they should. My question is, does Leo Rush go right to the title scene, or does he have squash matches for a month to get the crowd used to him?
Listen, he is a 23-year-old piece of gold, okay? Gold is the optimum. It's gold.
Yeah,
yes.
Straight
to the title scene. No match, no number one contender. He's just in.
Just in.
He's in. I think we're getting predictable. Perry Swift here says, is anyone else slightly excited for Steven Larson dissecting why the jobber in the Tozawa match had Joey written on his trunks despite being called Steve Irby? Well done, Perry Swift.
Yes.
You got a good 20 minutes of that today.
Yeah. To kick off the show, no less. Didn't you have to wait for it? Woken Minato, what would you guys prefer for 205 Live, a tag team title or a trios title?
Trios.
Trios would be
trios,
great.
Trios, it's different.
But do them all... not exactly Tornado, but New Japan / Lucha Libre rules.
Mm-hmm.
That you don't need to tag. If someone gets out of the ring, then another member of that team could hop in.
Mm-hmm.
I think because it keeps the pace really fast. Nicholas Grosskirth, how many 5-star matches? He wants this for a prop bet. How many 5-star matches will we see in Chicago? I don't think we're going to see any.
I think Ricochet, Velveteen Dream will get 4.5.
Yeah.
I think it'll do 4.5.
And Ciampa Gargano will be good, but I don't think it's going to be 5 stars. So zero.
Zero.
Steve Klein, what's Ciampa's ceiling when he goes up to main roster? I mean, he's a great heel.
He's got such a great look. I think he needs to be on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
I think his potential is like flipping limitless. How tall is he?
I think he's 5'11".
He's 5'11", so he's been on the short side. But then everybody is short these days.
Well,
like,
yeah.
How tall is Kevin Owens? Like 6 feet?
Yeah, probably.
I don't know, man. I think he's got a massively high ceiling. I really do. Whether or not they're going to want to go with a guy like that.
Yeah,
I mean,
5'11".
Freaking look at him.
I know.
He looks like a comic book movie villain. He's great.
I know.
Like a good comic book movie villain, not a crap one. Alex Sinestro.
Alex C says Ciampa could be the third body guy on 205 Live. I don't know. He kind of.
I don't want him on 205
Live. He transcends
Live,
body guy.
I don't want. I don't even want him on 205 Live. Let's see here. Oh, this is a good question. Don't call me a Lawler. It's WrestleMania 2.
All right.
The main event between Hulk Hogan and King Kong Bundy is very lackluster.
Yeah.
To change history for the better, which of the following wrestlers are cashing in their Money in the Bank briefcase after Hogan's win? Mr. Wonderful, Roddy Piper, Don Morocco, Iron Sheik Mekuhimbe, Hercules, Tito Santana, or Adrian Adonis?
I'm going to say Mr. Wonderful.
I would say Piper, man. Piper with the Piper is like totally, he would be the ultimate opportunist back then. That'd be great.
Yeah, no, I just said Mr. Wonderful because I knew you were going to say Piper. That's the obvious answer is Piper. Mr. Wonderful.
The obvious answer is an Iron Sheik. I've got this briefcase with legal paperwork inside. I make you humble legally. Like, cash in, where's our referee? He's got a freaking chub on. That's like the best picture ever. Sheik Hogan Boner. What the heck? That's the, like, dude, you can see like the freaking head, man. And he's like looking down at it. Like, don't you do a quick tuck? Like, don't you like put it up?
I think so. Don't call me a Lawler. If Daniel Bryan the Miz will be feuding over the WWE title soon, do you even give the title to Nakamura this weekend to essentially be a transitional champion?
I don't know, man. What you said in predictions is absolutely exactly correct. It's a last man standing match.
It's tailor made for a cash in.
It's tailor made for somebody to be down on the floor, completely unconscious, while somebody else takes their sweet damn time trying to communicate to the ref, yes, I'm cashing in now. Stop asking me.
Someone in the comments for that video made a point saying, well, if Nakamura and Styles are laid out on the floor, then someone can't cash in. But we've never
stand them up.
Well, no, because I guess, you know, traditionally all cash-ins have happened in the ring.
Yeah.
But no one's tried to cash in during a gimmick match like that.
Yeah.
So if they're cashing in saying, I'm making this a triple threat, I'm adding myself to this last man standing match,
mm-hmm.
then it should be cool, yeah, regardless where they are in the arena. Sort of like if there's a Hell in a Cell match and both competitors are absolutely destroyed, the door's open and someone comes in and says, I want to cash in. You know, if the person they're cashing in on is on the floor, it's a Hell in a Cell match. The rules of, well, sorry, that match would be over. Sorry, if that match was still going on. It says, this is a Hell in a Cell match. I am now making a triple threat Hell in a Cell match.
Yeah.
Then the rules for a Hell in a Cell match would still apply. You would think, yeah. Or a ladder match or TLC match,
yeah,
or case
yeah, you would just be turning it into a triple
threat. Yeah,
a triple threat. I'm also going back to the whole idea of them having to stand people up. But that's only if you're starting a new match, right?
Mm-hmm.
If both guys are completely laid out and then you come in and you enter the match,
mm-hmm.
it's as if you've
like
always
Seth
been
Rollins
there.
Did.
Yeah. Yeah, like yeah. Seth Rollins did. It's yeah. like you've always been there. Can you just like literally pin a guy?
Yeah.
You don't have to wait for the
nope.
bell to ring.
Nope.
I would think. But with Seth, the bell did ring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they'd ring the bell, but they wouldn't have AJ and Nakamura, you know, hey, stand up.
Yeah.
It wouldn't make any sense.
Ringing the bell seems to be a fairly subjective experience, mm-hmm. like in terms of when you decide to do it.
Yeah.
You know, oh, brawl's happening. All right, ring
All
the
right.
bell.
Ring the bell. It means refs come out, break yeah. this shit up.
Or don't.
Yeah.
Or they think, this will resolve itself. I'm not going to ring the bell. You know.
Chioda seems to have this under control.
I know. I feel like this is good. They don't need me adding to the mix, making things more confusing. Let's see here. CM Punk finds it inadmissible in court. If WWE is able to sign the Elite, should they add Being the Elite to the network as an exclusive?
I mean, it'd be
Being the Elite has such a DIY aesthetic. It's got such its own thing. It just makes sense to be on the Young Bucks YouTube channel.
I know, it really does.
But I mean, that'd probably be a thing, you know. It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, no.
They're gonna have to roll out the Brinks trucks. Mm-hmm. If they're gonna want the Young Bucks, if they're gonna want the Elite, they're gonna have to bring out mountains and mountains of cash, and they're gonna have to be really, really loose with like, what schedule do you guys want?
Well, and then all the ancillary stuff like being the Elite. Heck, their pro wrestling tee shop.
I know.
You know?
I know.
I mean, what incentive would the Young Bucks have to sign the deal, like a merchandise deal with WWE, that'll pay them a fraction of what they're going to make from the pro wrestling tee shop?
Oh, boatloads and boatloads of cash.
I know, but even still, it's like, why not try to have your cake and eat it too?
Let me ask you something.
Because a lot of people still have.
How much do
now
you
they've
think?
Signed Ricochet, I think, still has a pro wrestling tee shop.
How much do you think?
Johnny Gargano does.
The Young Bucks make off their pro wrestling tee store.
A ton.
Per year.
Just six figures, easily.
I would assume so.
Yeah.
I would think it's six figures. Let's just say it's 500,000.
Yeah.
All right. If the WWE said to them, you're making $500,000 a year off this Young Bucks pro wrestling tee shop, we will give you, in addition to what you're already giving you, $3 million for merchandise rights. Of course they'd say yes. Because it's like, okay, well, that's...
It would depend on the term of their contract, I think. If there's like a 3-year deal, then yeah. But if they want to try to sign to like a sort of long-term thing, just in terms of how the math
breaks
down.
What I'm saying is WWE would have to say, look,
they'd essentially have to compensate them for the money they're losing from...
to a far greater degree than they're already making because they've got freedom.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's what I'm talking about when the Brinks truck. It's like, it's going to be a deal that's so dumb to pass, to not take up, you know? Like, you want me in the WWE, then make my life easier and make me 3 times richer than I am right now. That's what it'd have to be.
Yeah, I know. Otherwise, there's really no incentive.
Because there's no incentive. Unless they're so...
Unless they just want to have that WrestleMania moment.
Yeah. And that's up to them. Yeah. You know?
Alex Foster, you guys have talked about Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne plenty, but what about Trent Seven? What's his ceiling? Man, that guy is pure charisma.
I love Trent Seven.
Oh, he's fantastic.
He's fantastic. I don't know what his ceiling is, though.
He could be a tag champion. Might have Mustache Mountain.
Oh, I've been advocating that forever. Yeah. Forever. For
on
them
the main roster, easily tag champion.
Yeah. Absolutely. I could see him being like a commentary guy, too.
Oh, yeah.
Line,
oh, yeah, he'd be great.
Line, like a Nigel type. That'd be good. Let's see here. Sean Izzo, does Kyle O'Reilly have a higher ceiling than tag champion in NXT? It's perpetual tag champion on main roster.
Mm-hmm.
Him and what's his face? The old timey guy, Bobby Fish.
Yeah.
Or Roderick Strong, whatever they want to do with that.
Cedric the Man Kent, will there be any call-ups after Money in the Bank? I'd rather any NXT talent stay there because the main roster ruined a lot of them. No, there might be a couple after SummerSlam, but I would be surprised if they're ready after Money in the Bank.
Yeah, me too. They're not at the point where they're doing that yet.
No. Mike Demopoulos, how the hell are we supposed to boo the Undisputed Era? I don't know. They're so damn entertaining.
Oh, I know. I can't.
Gosh,
can't do
they're
it.
So good.
Can't do it. Let's see here. Not a lot of questions today.
Yeah. Just light on the questions today.
Yeah, man.
I mean, we don't have to. We can stop. It's our show.
Cool, right on.
We don't have to keep going if we don't want to.
52 minutes of show.
That's fine.
We can just do something else. We want to talk about something else?
Sure.
Talk about cakes. I'm hungry.
Yeah, I am too. I brought some lentil tacos for lunch today. I'm excited about
it. You and your lentils, man.
They're good for you.
Yeah.
Chock full of protein and fiber and vitamins.
Maybe you should marry them.
That is the most ridiculous thing you've ever said.
I don't know, man. I've said a lot of ridiculous things.
You're asking me to marry a legume.
Don't be rude about it. Be sure to check out Best of the Super Friendos Part 3.
I think lentils are legumes. I might be wrong about
that. It's an hour and a half of Larson just getting upset.
Oh, I was mad.
Shoot mad at his best friend for something that I couldn't even control. My lack of filter.
Confirm lentils are legumes.
Well, that's good. You learn something new every day. So, yeah, check that out. CastBox. Download it. Enjoy it. Love it. Marry it.
Also, our Money in the Bank predictions. Those are up. We're going to be doing a live stream of our reactions to Money in the Bank on Sunday.
Tell your friends.
Starting at 4 o'clock Pacific time.
Swing by the office. We might have a special guest here.
True.
And it's not going to be out of Mayhem. Not doing that. Ooh, is he gonna have to wear the mask?
Well,
it's like come by for a pay-per-view reaction stream, and then you gotta wear that stupid mask. Can we just out the guy?
No.
It's like the NWO now.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Luchando, man. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, Luchando is Luchando.
When he takes the mask off, who is he?
Still Luchando.
Can't we just out him?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
All right. I guess not. You know, I just want for the betterment of the show. Anyways, that's it for show. Hilton, can you please play our music? There we go. Thank you. Appreciate it. Anyways, that's it for the show. Thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time, talk to you guys later.
Bye.